Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Hey, we're celebrating here in the Pirate Money Radio studios after learning that Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed into law HB 1056 on a Sunday night at the 11th hour, literally the very last hour of the very last day that he could either sign or veto our bill. We were sweating it out, absolutely. There was a big push by bank lobbies to have our bill vetoed, and we had a bill vetoed in Utah, so that was serious. We're going to explain today how this new law and similar ones in Arkansas, Florida, Missouri, and Louisiana will make a huge difference in your life. I believe these laws will open a path for you to protect your family from inflation, federal government overreach, and even could reduce your taxes. If enough of us catch on quickly, this could also help address the federal government debt and the overspending crisis on the horizon. This could secure your retirement and make a better future for your family. This is a major victory in my life's journey. This is something I've been thinking about for over 50 years, and we've been working with an incredible team over the last decade. And joining us, one of the incredible team leaders that made this happen, it's a major milestone. The path that we must take to benefit from it's coming up, but the co-host of Pirate Money Radio can help you understand that path. Mike Carter, welcome.
Hey, great to be here this morning. I'm equally excited. I can't believe this day has actually happened. You know, it wasn't that long ago we thought if we could just get one state. And then we heard Governor DeSantis say, if you get Florida and Texas, nothing can stop it. And I thought, wow, that'd be a great day. We get both those states. If we get just one of them, that'd be big. But now we've got Florida and Texas moving forward, as well as other states out there. So amazing to see the doors that have opened and what God's doing here.
Yeah, well, this was not an easy button experience.
Uh-oh. That was easy.
Yeah, no, it's you can go to learn more, go to Staples, get an easy button. But this wasn't an easy button experience. It was a lot of hard work, a great team, great execution, great coordination. And when I pulled up on the website of the bills that had been filed and everything else, HB 1056, I saw the authors there, the sponsor, the last action, it says 6/22/2025, signed by the governor. And the caption, relating to the recognition of gold and silver specie as legal tender and the establishment of a transactional currency based on gold and silver, authorizing a fee. You know, some people have complained that it says fee in the bill. They said, oh, this is the government taking more fees. But actually, to get it passed legislatively, you have to put that in there. If a fee is going to be charged at any point, you have to put it in there, or a point of order could be an excuse to kill it even after it had passed a committee and things like that.
Yeah, and that's not unreasonable to think there's going to be a fee to cover cost to implement a system like this. So some states are taking a different approach with this. Some say, hey, we could maybe have a fee because this is rolled into the banking system anyhow. It's already being paid for by retailers and normal debit cards. There might be ways we can take part of that fee for administering this and maybe reduce property taxes or get rid of those. So every state's going to have a little different way of doing it. We got that great experiment going now, so it's going to be fun to see what each state does and where the money will flow. You always say, Kevin, it goes where it's treated best. So the free market, we'll see where it goes.
That's right. Well, we had in studio for Economic War Room, former Representative Jason Isaac and his wife, Carrie, and she is currently state representative. And she's thinking, you know, if there's a fee that can be earned here, maybe Texas should use it to reduce property taxes, because the customer doesn't actually pay the fee when a debit card's used. That's paid by the merchant, as they do now to MasterCard or Visa.
So in a sense, it's kind of free. You know, when I was a little kid, I remember, I think I was 5 years old, so don't get too hard on me for ignorance, but I remember I was taking piano lessons. Mom forced me into it, and I got this invoice, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, hey, you spelled free wrong. It says fee here. You missed the R. And the piano teacher thought that was hilarious, and I'm still suffering from a little humility from that lesson. But
humiliation. Oh, yeah, you take the R out. It's a big deal. And, you know, I'm not trying to make a political statement here, but if you take the R out, free goes to fee, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
If I were a Republican legislator or something, I'd probably use that. That's a good campaign ad.
Take
the R out and free goes to fee. Actually, the opposite is free is there's nothing free. We end up paying for it one way or the other, except the gospel.
Yeah.
And salvation is a free gift, and it's a beautiful thing. All right, so we're looking at the bill stages here on Texas Legislature Online. You remember that Schoolhouse Rock?
I do. The I'm just a bill guy.
Yeah. So I'm just a bill up on Capitol Hill. Anyway, the stages, it was filed on November 12th, 2024. It came out of committee on April 22nd. I remember that day. It was a big day to come out. It was voted on by the House on May 2nd, out of Senate committee on May 25th, voted on by the Senate on May 28th, which, by the way, that's my dad's birthday. He's passed on, but his birthday was May 28th. And the governor signed it into law June 22nd, and it becomes law. That's a pretty exciting thing to see.
It is exciting to see. And it looks so simple in those seven boxes up there. But if you think about the work that took place between each one of those steps and the follow-up and the explanations and the walking the Capitol and meeting with people in committees and the politics.
The begging on our knees, yeah. Hands and knees, yes.
The misunderstandings, the people that were literally speaking out against this, saying that, they'd go to jail if they did something like this.
The lawyers, the comptroller,
lobbyists.
Lawyer, yes. And we had to fight back every one of those steps, answer every one of those questions. But we've done it. Now, practically, what does it mean? What does this mean for the average? They're listening and they say, okay, now gold and silver can be legal tender and I can transact in. What does that mean to real people?
Well, I think, first of all, it means we actually have a solution to the out-of-control debt and some of the irresponsibility we're seeing in the Federal Reserve. It means that we've got a real solution. You know, I can't tell you, we've been doing the radio show or the economic war room show for a number of years now, and people call up almost panicked as they look at that debt clock and what's going on and seeing what's happening with their money, and they're like, what do I do? And many of these folks don't have a lot of extra money, and so they're trying to say, well, do I put it all into gold? I'm like, well, gold is one part of things, but you always want to have a balanced portfolio. Now you have gold that you can own, that's transactional, that's spendable if you need it, but that keeps up with inflation. That's a steady store of value. It's a real solution to, I think, some potential real geopolitical economic problems ahead. And it's just that hedge. It makes me feel better to know I could have my own gold rainy day reserve fund just in case I need it.
One day, not yet. The comptroller has to set this up in Texas and so forth, but one day you'll be able to go and you'll take gold and you'll spend it at a grocery store or a restaurant, or you'll pay your employees, or you'll get paid in gold or silver. I mean, this is a very powerful law. It harkens back to the Constitution. It's what I believe all this legislation, and I truly do, and I want to give the credit to God and to the team that pulled it together, but really it was the Pirate Money book. Mm-hmm. Being distributed across the country. When Riley Moore, the now congressman, but then West Virginia treasurer, calls up and says, why do I have copies of your book on my desk? Or when Representative Mark DeRazio took to every legislator in Texas, I want you to have a book, and handed them out.
Yeah.
They got distributed in Florida. They got distributed in Arkansas. In fact, what states have passed this legislation?
Well, we've had Texas and Florida, Louisiana, Arkansas, Missouri. We're still waiting for a final signature there, but from what I hear, it's on a must-sign bill, so I think Missouri is going to be next. Those are all big transactional gold bills. Some are written a little bit different than others, but kind of going back to the book, Kevin, why that was such an important piece of this, even as we saw the press and media pick up, oh, there's legislation for transactional gold and silver, people would laugh and say, how are you going to spend a gold coin at a retailer out there? That's a ridiculous idea. And it took that simple way of laying this thing out that you've done marvelously in this book, Pirate Money, said, you can do it with a debit card. You can actually make gold and silver functional currency again. And that's the aha moment that we saw happening across these capitals in the country.
Yeah, and we actually made videos. Russell pulled together an incredible cartoon-style video that showed how you could spend gold and silver as money, how it works, why it's necessary, and so forth. We have really a movement that started, and as Mike mentioned, Florida, Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, Missouri, these are real places with real citizens. It's a huge impact on our economy. We're going to have to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about what this can mean for you personally.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we're talking with Mike Carter about the great victories that we've had in pirate money legislation. First, I think, was Arkansas, then Florida signed into law, and then Louisiana, and now Texas just recently, and Missouri soon to come, and maybe even a chance at a re-do-over, a mulligan in Utah, because the governor vetoed it, but now he's shown interest in learning more and maybe adapting the legislation a little bit, which is not uncommon. Governors can do that.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see, even as these states are passing this, other states that are picking up, said, hey, this is going to be a key strategic priority for us next year. So the momentum is building now. We've gotten through all the understanding how it works, what the objections are, the constitutionality, and now it's how do we implement? How do we get this in our state?
Yeah, let's be clear here. People who just heard of this gold and silver legal tender, they rushed to social media and they said, so what? I can't buy groceries with gold. This is stupid. And I got on there and started responding to try and answer that. But this is a very different legislation from any gold and silver laws of the past. Of the past, it would be, we'll remove sales tax from gold. And that happened in some of the states, like in Florida. Yeah. If you bought less than $500 worth of gold, you had to pay a sales tax. And we removed sales taxes because money should not have a sales tax on it. But it's very different in that this isn't designed for you to get gold coins and put them in a safe or have it in an IRA. This is an opportunity for you to own real gold and actually be able to spend it. Can you explain how vaulted gold works? You've been to the gold vault. You know how.
Yeah, I've been to the Texas Bullion Depository, and certainly there's Brinks and other vaults that are looking at what's happening and saying, hey, we need to be able to ride this wave. We need to make sure that maybe our vaults can be not just cash vaults, but gold vaults and so forth now. But imagine, what's beautiful about this is it democratizes gold. You don't no longer have to be rich to own gold anymore. I can buy as little as 10 cents worth of gold or a dollar worth of gold or $10 worth of gold. Or if I'm working in one of my early career jobs and getting a minimum wage, I could start to save, let's say, $50 a month or $100 a month. And I got $1,200 in a year saved up, and that keeps up with inflation, and maybe that goes up to $1,400, $1,500. Don't want to spend it, but if I need to, I can, because my car breaks down, I got to get to work, I can spend it. And what I'm doing is I'm buying gold. It's pooled and held in a depository. So I held one of those bars that weighed 27 pounds, one of those James Bond-style gold bars. At the time, it was worth $800,000. I think it's $1.2 million now in a year and a half. And you can have a part of that bar sitting in a vault there. So I couldn't afford to buy a $1.2 million bar of gold, but I could afford to buy $1,000 or a couple thousand dollars. And that's, I have my pooled ownership in that bar. That bar is of gold that I physically own, is not fractionalized and loaned out. It's a shared resource bar, but I'm able to spend that at a retailer. And then that retailer will take it either in dollars or eventually, and probably gold, they'll have the option to do that. And then they'll just take that piece of gold that I sold to them. But now it's transactional. So now I can buy that stick of gum at the grocery store with it. I can pay taxes with it. I can make a car payment. All the things that mean functional currency out there, I can spend gold and silver just like I spend any other currency right now.
That's what's so revolutionary. This is an article in the Wall Street Journal, April 25th, 2023. How to buy gold hits a Google record as crypto investors chase the world's oldest asset. And I'm going to read just a little bit of this because you see, gold was viewed as archaic, a barbaric relic, and so forth because it wasn't functional. You have a piece of gold, so what? You make jewelry out of it and you can keep it as a collectible. But here it is. The old school precious metal is newer lure for a generation seeking a respite from the cryptocurrency roller coaster. And here's a quote. For a long time, I kind of figured, gold and silver, that's kind of an old guy thing, said Mr. Day, a 27-year-old college student in Kelowna, British Columbia. Sure, I'm not necessarily going to get rich buying gold, but it will hold that money in uncertain times better than a lot of other things. I'm going to scroll down and it says, Google searches for the phrase how to buy gold have hit the highest level recorded this month, according to Google Trends data, going back about two decades. Bitcoin, and I'll skip forward, says Bitcoin shares common qualities with gold. Both are mined, neither is wallet friendly, and they're virtually useless for buying gas, groceries, or a movie ticket. But gold has a distinct advantage compared with digital currency. It looks beautiful in and of itself, and you can densely hold wealth in your hands. All right, so let's back that up a little bit. We're making gold and silver money again. That's what this law does. So it's important that we all understand what money is. Money is three things according to the Federal Reserve, and I'm going to add a fourth thing that really makes it money. Money is a unit of account. Can I measure things and price them in terms of dollars easily? That's worth $50. Can I measure it in terms of gold? How do I do that?
Measure it in terms of gold?
Yeah.
Well, I'm still going to use the dollars as kind of what the world uses to measure what something might cost out there. But in this case, I'm going to have an app where I'm going to be able to take my debit card and app. I'm going to be able to purchase something. Let's look at the spot price of that gold at the time. Say, do I have enough money to buy that $50 worth of gold? What's the current spot price? It'll sell my gold and either convert that gold to that retailer or convert it to dollars and pay that retailer in less than 200 milliseconds.
But isn't seamless. But isn't it true that we could also price things in ounces and fractions of ounces?
Yes.
So I can. Yes. I know. I
went, absolutely. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, I went and used my gold debit card, which we'll talk about in a little bit. And when we celebrated in Florida, we went out to dinner, and actually, here it is. We went. Oh, the other day I took out a friend to celebrate Texas passing it. So I went to a Mediterranean restaurant in Southlake. And I spent 0.7196 grams of gold. That's how much the dinner was, $109.19.
And what do you think that'd look like if it was in a form of physical gold in your hand? Any idea? A little dust?
Yeah, a little dust. Mm-hmm. It was $77.86, and I paid for it with 0.7196 grams of gold. It was calculated for me seamlessly. I didn't have to do it. But what is money? Number one, it's a unit of account. And you can measure items in terms of gold or silver weighted by ounces. Second thing, it's a means of exchange. Historically, you just hit on it, and the Wall Street Journal article said it. It's virtually useless to buy a movie ticket. Well, that was true. It's no longer true. I mean, how could you cut off a little bit of flex of gold and buy a movie ticket?
Yeah, and hope I don't have hay fever that day and sneeze it off off my hand. Yeah,
who would take it? It's like, is that real? How do I know it's real?
Right.
You know, you're going to run assay tests on it? No. So it was a terrible means of exchange. Third thing, but it is a good means of exchange now, which we'll get to. Third thing is a store of value. Does gold and silver hold its value over time?
Absolutely. We've seen that since biblical times. It's been a steady store of value.
But the U.S. dollar, which is excellent as a unit of account, tremendous. I can measure everything in dollars and cents. It's a tremendous means of exchange. I can pay my debts, and I can write checks, and I can use debit card, and I can electronically transfer. It's a marvelous means of exchange. Store of value, when we left the gold standard in 1971, a Hershey bar cost a dime. A Campbell's soup, tomato soup and Campbell's soup, 10 cents. What does that cost today? Hershey bar could be $2.50, $3. Yeah. How much is it? $2, $3 for a can of soup? So it has not been a good store of value. It's lost 90% of its purchasing power over the last 50 years.
I'm looking at a Bloomberg chart here right now. Now, I've not vetted this out, but this is through June of 2025, Bloomberg U.S. Global Investors from advisor perspective. But it says that the U.S. dollar's value has sunk approximately 10% so far this year. 10% drop. I mean, if the dollar has lost 10%, I mean, I think you start to look at gold and say, hey, how do I offset that?
Interestingly, gold's gone up about that, right?
Yes, exactly.
Gold has been recently at all-time highs. So gold, good unit of account, good means, lousy means of exchange until now, but good store of value. U.S. dollar, good unit of account, good means of exchange, lousy store of value. Here's the fourth point, legal tender. Prior to this legislation, in Texas, was it legal tender, or is that what this legislation did?
Legislation made it that. And many states had gold and silver as legal tender, but it was not useful. Nobody could use it. We saw that in Louisiana and in Arkansas. Like, well, what good does this do us? And so they added a little bit of new legislation in there that says, let's recognize the electronic transfer of gold and silver as legal tender. And now you've got something people can use.
So legal tender is important because the government says this is real and you can pay for stuff with this, and that will win in the courts as it has in the past. But it makes it money. So with these laws, gold is a good unit of account, good means of exchange, good store of value, and now legal tender. And money's important. There are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, you can spend it, you can invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, it's a mobile phone company. They support the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room, which is our sister show on Blaze Television, and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. And why do we call it pirate money? We call it pirate money because originally the founders intended for us to use gold and silver coins. It's written in the Constitution. And the gold and silver coins of the realm at that time were known as Spanish mill dollars, a.k.a. pieces of eight. And the double escudo, which was the gold coin from Spain, was also known as a gold doubloon. And when you hear the term gold doubloon and pieces of eight, people think pirate money. And by the way, it was pirate money because much of the money that circulated had been captured by pirates from Spanish galleons and then spent in the American colonies, soon to be American states. So pirate money really is the foundational monetary system. We just want to return to what we used to have and make it modern and convenient.
And exciting time that we're at a time where we can actually do that. And we're not only in the states that have passed it now, but I think more states moving as we go into this thing next legislative session. So this is a reality, folks. And it's happening faster than I imagined. And I'm thankful for that.
Oh, no. I remember, Mike, we talked to some lobbyists who said, well, if you give us $100,000 a year for a Democrat and $100,000 a year for a Republican, in four or five sessions, you might get something passed. Mm-hmm. In 2 years since this book was written, I think that is kind of a record. 2 years a book was written and states are adopting. And I don't take credit for writing the book. What I do give is credit to God because it's his idea. It's written in his word that gold and silver are real money. And the Constitution, our founders, who said gold and silver is real money.
And I've not passed legislation before. Our team, we've all been, let's figure out how this thing works. And it's been an eye-opener to see how it works. But to get that kind of success with the small team we had, there's bigger forces that have made this happen, and that's what's so exciting about it.
Yep. We're going to talk more about pirate money. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we'll talk about how the dollar has lost its purchasing power since 1971 and how pirate money can solve that. This is an important opportunity for us right now.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
I'm just a bill up on Capitol Hill. You're talking about HB 1056, just passed in Texas, signed into law by the governor, along with tremendous legislation signed by Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida, Governor Sarah Sanders in Arkansas, Governor Jeff Landry in Louisiana, and soon to be signed in, I think, Governor Kehoe in Missouri. This is changing the world based on biblical principles. And why is it changing the world? You know, we used to be on a gold standard. We were on a gold standard. That was the implication, the intention of the founders. At 1787, when the Constitution was written, it was the intention after the Civil War era to get back to a gold standard and then later add silver standard. Federal Reserve was created, and they had to back every dollar they produced by 40% gold or silver. And it used to be you could walk in with your silver certificate or gold certificate, and they would hand you gold whenever you turned in your gold certificate. And in 1933, President FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, confiscated every American's gold. They took it away, unless it was jewelry or maybe a rare coin or something, a collectible, and they took it away from you. And then, but the dollar was still backed. They still kept enough gold. So if a foreign country came and said, hey, we've got $1 million, we want $1 million worth of gold, up until 1971, they could exchange it. And in 1971, in August, President Nixon took us off the last connection to the gold standard, and since 1971 to the present, we've seen the decline in the value of the purchasing power of the dollar. And Dr. David Bratt, in episode 64 that we had on this radio program, we featured Dr. Bratt, former congressman, former dean of business at Liberty University, now a senior vice president at Liberty University. He walked through a series of facts. The wealth gap has increased since 1971 tremendously. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer. Inflation has dramatically increased. Racial financial inequality has expanded. Up until 1971, you saw minority populations catching up to the white population, but boom, that flipped in 1971. Household formation, women having babies, all of these statistics socially and economically changed in 1971. Why? I believe it's because we're violating God's principles of honest weights and measures. Once they unhinged the Federal Reserve from gold standard, something that's real, the government said, well, we can print as much money as we want. Mm-hmm. And they've done that. We went from virtually no debt to $37 trillion. In fact, when I wrote the book 2 years ago, Pirate Money, it was $32 trillion. Now it's $37 trillion in debt. This is hurting the poor, and people are profiting from it. You think God's happy with that?
Definitely not. Definitely not. And those charts that Dave had, that we had in the Economic Worm Show, dramatic. And when you look at what happened from the time we went off the gold standard in 1971 to what happened with inflation, it was just like flat for, 50, 60 years before that, and then skyrockets up. I was with Ben Paris on our team the other day talking about the 70s and my first car, and I told him what I bought my first car for, and he's like, that was in like the mid-70s before inflation. I can't believe you could buy a car like that for that price. I bought my red 240Z sports car for $3,300, but it was the car of cars. You're going to have a hard time getting that today for $3,300.
Yeah, my parents bought their dream home, built their dream home for a little over $50,000 in 1971. And, you know, their dream home, it was still reasonably modest, but it held our family beautifully, and we just couldn't believe we had this much space. We had two living, recreation room and a living room, and everybody had their own bathroom and bedroom. It was an amazing thing, and you can't do that now. And why is we're violating God's principles? I looked at 1 Corinthians 3:12-13, New King James. It says, now if anyone builds this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If it's gold and silver, it gets purified by fire. Wood, hay, and stubble gets burnt up. Now let me think. Let me just rephrase slightly. Now, if anyone builds their economy on the foundation of gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw, each one's economy will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. Our economy has been built on wood, hay, and stubble. That's what paper is made of. Paper money is wood, hay, and stubble. God's word talks about money always, gold, silver, and sometimes copper. And you don't think that's ingrained in humanity? It's every nation of the world, every continent on earth recognizes gold and silver and copper as money. It's so ingrained that it's even in our Olympics. When you win an Olympic medal, you're getting gold, silver, or bronze, which is copper. So this is a big deal. It's a big deal to God. He created gold and silver. It's also a constitutional big deal. Article 1, Section 10 says, a state can make nothing other than gold and silver tender. Mm-hmm. That's the power of this. It's the constitutionality and the biblical nature of it. And by getting back to this on an optional, nobody's forcing anybody to accept the gospel here in America. And under these laws, you're not forced to go on your own personal gold standard. It's an option, but it's a wise option. It's a choice for people. And it's a true revolution sweeping across the nation. Mike,
I've been saying sweeping around the world. I'm looking at another article here. Gold surpasses euro as the second largest reserve currency in the world. So as people are getting concerned, we're seeing the dollar drop and so forth, other countries out there, more and more people rushing to gold. And again, we're not here to sell gold.
We're not a gold dealer.
Yeah, we're not the ones that are every ad, we're hawking gold and so forth. No, we care about economic liberty, economic freedom, about fair weights and measures. But you can
financial see financial sovereignty is what Governor DeSantis.
Yeah, he led with that. That was amazing to see how he literally stepped into that and said, "This is about financial sovereignty." And so this you're seeing all the central banks buying gold. Why not each of us have a chance to do the same thing and it easily?
That's what's so offensive about some of the banking lobbies that stood against this. They don't want real people to have gold, while we know that the big banks and the central banks have been buying and storing gold. And I got to tell you, I have friends in the intelligence community. I've worked economic warfare for quite a while in the Pentagon with the DIA and the CIA and the FBI. I briefed all of them, interacted with all of them. And I will tell you, some of my friends that worked in there have alerted me that central bank digital currency, which is where the government, we've done a whole show on this.
CBDC.
Yes. The government controls the money supply, controls what you can eat, drink, you know, what you can spend money on, complete control mechanism. They view gold as currency as the number one threat to their plans to do this massive takeover of the world. And this legislation, that's why they opposed it so severely. The bankers' lobbies, and in fact, bankers' lobbies dishonorably, I'll call them out, dishonorably were telling legislators to pretend to be for this and then actually vote against it.
And every banking lobby group is a little bit different. But some of those same bank lobbying groups will say they're scared to death of CBDC because they recognize that's going to put the local community banks out of business. We come with an idea to help move that forward, to help save those banks. And it's just like they bite our hands. They're like, oh, no, we're here to help. But they've not seen that opportunity. And I think as these more and more states are doing it, though, just like we're seeing some on I won't name any people, but we're seeing governors and so forth out there saying, oh, well, maybe we need to revisit this again.
Yeah. We do need to see this. And it doesn't have to happen in every state, but as many states as we possibly can, because that will go to the tax issue. When you use gold and silver today, if you buy a coin, the IRS will look at it and say, this is a collectible. And if you sell that coin for a profit, which you don't really have a profit, if you're beating inflation, you're not making a profit, you're just keeping up with inflation. But if you sell it for a profit, we want our fair share. And so if you use one of the commercial apps, which I use, like Glint Pay, at the end of every year, I have to download a report. I pay $35 to one of the big accounting firms, download a report, and then I have to file that with my taxes. And I owe tax because I bought gold at $2,000 an ounce, and I spend it at $3,200 or $3,300 an ounce. And so I'll have to pay tax on that. By having one or more states declare it legal tender, which has already happened, and making it transactional, we believe we can win this tax battle. Yeah. And that the more states, the better, because it will make a strong point. And we'll be talking about what winning the tax battle looks like and so forth. But I want to go back to this. How can people stay in the know on what's going on, whether or not this is in their state and what that means for them?
Yeah. The best place is at transactionalgold.com. And we literally have a stay in the know tab there that they can click on, share some information. We don't spam you with lots of stuff, but we will keep you up to date on what's happening across the country and by states. Let's face it, there's some states out there where this is going to take us a lot longer to get this across the finish line. And people in some of those states are like, can I get the Texas transactional gold or can I get the Florida transactional gold? There will be opportunities, I think, for those in other states. I don't know what the IRS rules are going to be as it relates to taxation, but this is a step that says, hey, no matter where you live, you can have your own rainy day gold fund and have some of the stuff set aside for whatever might happen in the future by using one of the other states out there. And you're going to see, like I said, different states doing it different ways. And so you'll be able to pick, you know, where do I want to own some gold? Do I feel better about having it in Texas or Florida or Arkansas or somewhere a little bit closer to me? We'll see where it all goes.
Okay, Governor Newsom, if you happen to, by some miracle of God, be tuning on your dial and you run across a station playing this on a Saturday morning and you click in, you can call us. We will help you catch up with Governor Ron DeSantis. I know you have a feud going on with him and a feud going on with Governor Abbott. We'll help you catch up. We'll show you how California, the Golden State, can help make gold and silver money again in California. I think it's a tremendous opportunity. All right. So other states that are showing interest, we know where it's been. What other states are showing interest?
Well, we continue to work throughout the Midwest, and I think the more of those will roll as we go into the next legislative session. We have Ohio coming up probably this fall, Pennsylvania. We've got Georgia. I got a call this morning from Georgia wanting to make this one of the top strategic priorities there in the Senate. All good signs as they're seeing other states
Oklahoma
move forward.
Oklahoma came very close. Kansas came very close. You're going to look at a map. Maybe within a year, and you're going to see our map covered in gold. And if you want to learn more, you go to transactionalgold.com and click on and see the states where we're active in the map. I predict, we were one state entered Texas last session, and then 18 states, I think it was, and now 25 states, but it's passed now in 6 states, signed into law in 4. One will soon be signed into law, and the one that vetoed it may go back and look again in a special session. This is the pirate money movement. It's going to make a huge difference in your life. Learn more at transactionalgold.com. We'll be right back.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And if you've been watching any media over the past decade, any media, you've seen the advertisements for gold. Put it in your IRA. Buy gold. Gold is going up. And all those things have validity. But what do you do with it when you get it? And that's the number one objection. What do I do with gold once I have it? It just sits there and you have to pay a fee to have it stored and so forth, but I can't spend it. That's changed. Legislation now passed in 6 states, signed into law in 4 states, and soon to be signed into law, maybe in both the other 2, is the opportunity for you to use gold as money. And that's become a movement. And we're going to take, you know, if you want to learn more, you can go to transactionalgold.com, click in the Stay in the Know. Mike, we've been working on this now for a couple of years. We've had some challenges. What have they been?
Well, the challenges have obviously been just education and what we're actually talking about here. Can you actually make gold functional currency? We've answered those. I mean, you've answered the book, all the Supreme Court precedents, the historical pieces and so forth. We've had people come against this that don't necessarily understand the opportunity that exists there. But I think, now that we've got the success that we've had, we're seeing many of those what were anticipated objections start to just melt away. And now we're seeing more and more states come on board. People, that have been in the traditional gold and silver segment, they may have gold or silver at home, they might say, well, I don't want my gold somewhere else. I'm going to hold on to my gold. And we say, that's absolutely fine. We think everybody should do that. I think that's a great opportunity to have some gold or silver at home as well. And again, we don't sell gold. We're not a gold and silver deal or anything like that. But having something that you can spend that's transactional is a big idea that's going to expand this category and give people an option that exists out there. I think the other part that's important for people to understand, we're super excited about the legislation that's passed. It doesn't mean you can get a state card yet. Texas is going to take a little while to implement.
How do I? The people that were the biggest skeptics are now contacting me and saying, "Okay, how do I get started? Mm-hmm. This looks good. I had no idea you could ever get this passed. I thought it was impossible. The technology didn't exist and everything. You've proven it. Now I want it. What do they do?"
Yeah. Well, I think if we start to look at just the states that have passed it so far, Louisiana, Missouri, and even Arkansas have built a more efficient piece of legislation that says, hey, we want to recognize gold and silver electronically as legal tender and have ways to maybe move a little bit quicker than maybe a Texas or a Florida. Florida's looking at 2026 before it actually implements there, but they're making sure they're checking all the boxes and how to set that up. Texas, 2026, probably up to 2027 before they can actually execute. Part of those challenges were we had people that said, wait a second, this is such a huge idea. How can you possibly do this? This is going to take a lot of time to figure out. And as much as we try to say, no, there's an app, there's a card, there's ways the technology is working today, some politicians aren't necessarily business people or entrepreneurs like, well, this is going to take some time. We've got to take a lot of time to figure this thing out. Again, this is the beautiful part of the free markets. Some states are going to say, hey, we can move on this thing pretty quick. Let's get this started. Others are going to take a little bit longer.
Well, when we educate them, I remember when you took the deputy treasurer of Utah to lunch and you just pulled out your Glint card and you bought lunch. Wait, how did that happen? How did that work? When we educate people and show, and by the way, that if you're interested in this now and people keep asking, learn more about Glint Pay or alternatives. We're not pushing just one, but the one that I use, Glint Pay, is available in the Apple or the Android store. And you can, on their ad, glintpay.com, to learn more, it says buy, save, and spend real gold instantly with Glint. Of course, when you do that, just be forewarned that it's not money yet. Even in the states that have passed these laws, it's not connected to the system yet, whether it's Glint or anyone else. And so you will still have to be prepared to pay capital gains tax. The tax issue, I want to just dive into that just for a second, is historically, if it transacts like money, like a Bitcoin, but is not legal tender, the IRS says it's taxable. You have to pay capital gain if it appreciates in value. If it's legal tender, even in like Utah, where it was legal tender 10 years ago, 11 years ago, even then, it wasn't functional as currency. So it wasn't really functioning like money where you could spend it and buy a stick of gum or pay your babysitter with it or whatever. It's not functioning like currency. So they said it's a collectible and you have to pay tax on it. But the IRS code, and I'm reading from the Utah study. This is a big study group where it was filled with brilliant people like the vice chairman, Randy Quarles, former vice chairman of the Fed, and others.
And Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, I was honored to be part of that. It basically said the IRS code set that gold is taxable this way. It's not a congressional law. So it's not set in stone. But if you read it correctly, I believe you'll find that once it's functional currency under state authority as legal tender, that it would not be taxable. We'll have to make that case, and we're going to begin to address that head on right now. I'm beginning to make the case to officials in the Trump administration and other places saying, hey, look, it's passed in these states. Do you like Governor DeSantis? Do you like Governor Sanders? Do you like Governor Abbott? And of course, the Trump team, they're on his team. They've got an R behind their name. They wear red ties too. So I think we've got a really good case, but the courts are with us as well, as I explained in the book, Pirate Money. That's what we need to do, is we need to win that. Okay, so now what? What can people do? How can they get started? If they don't want to wait any longer, they can, number one, look at Glint or alternatives. The one that I have used is can be found at glintpay.com to learn more.
Yeah, but, let me just jump a little bit what to expect on something like that, because Glint right now is based in the UK. They have your gold's going to be in Switzerland in that case. So it's not in the US.
True.
But it's connected to a card.
And a bank in the United States.
And a bank, yeah, it's out of a bank, Sutton Bank in Ohio. And that card, you're able to spend anywhere in the U.S. And probably, I've been out of the States to deal with it, but other parts of the world, you can spend gold and silver with that MasterCard. It's going to ask, though. It follows all the rules and regulations out there within the financial system, the money transmitter laws, the know your customer, the anti-money laundering. It takes the any bad actors out of this thing. So they're going to ask for some personal information, including your social security and so forth on this.
Because we don't want terrorists. We don't want drug dealers using this.
And rightly, that's what the states of Florida and Texas and Arkansas, they started looking at this. Well, we want to make sure this is following all the rules and regulations, that it's completely legit and the right things are happening there. So that everything that's happening and in place and been working, in Glint's case, I think they've been around since 2018. We expect to see that same technology coming here in the States as states start to implement. It might be Glint, might be somebody else. But if you want to get that card now, you can do it. And just know that that's kind of the process. Now, when I first started, I did a little bit from my credit card. onto Glint. I didn't put give him any of my bank account numbers or anything like that. And then once I saw, I can trust in this, I believe, then you can do a where, you know, a regular withdrawal from your bank into that account, depending on what you want to purchase. But it purchases at the spot price plus a small, I think it's a 0.9% upcharge when you purchase gold right now today there. And then if you're spending your gold, it doesn't cost you anything. It's built into the card fees.
Yeah, no, it's very seamless, and it'll calculate your capital gains and losses tax for a small fee. And Jason Cousins, who was the founder of this, has become a dear friend. He traveled with us to state legislature just to prove that it could be done. And then they started holding up their Glint card, like yeah. Senator Murphy. And we had a Facebook post on that, hit over 1 million views. He holds up, this is my Glint card. Senator Representative DeRazio did the same thing. Everybody in Florida, you walk in, oh, you're the Glint guy, or yeah. You're the pirate money guy. So he really was helpful. So a huge shout out to him for helping
to have a proven technology. Because when we started working this, we didn't know of any technology providers out there doing it. And you were writing the book, and then Jason reached out and said, hey, I see you guys are doing legislation. Can we talk? We did that, and to have a proven model like that certainly helped get the legislation passed.
Yep, and it's passed now. So, all right, so the baby is birthed, and it felt like birthing a baby, didn't yeah. it? The baby is birthed, and so I was praying over this, and I thought, what do we do next, Lord? And he took me to Matthew 2:13. It's now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Okay, who had departed? The magi, the wise men had departed. And then an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And I realized all the opponents we've had to transactional gold and silver, the baby's birth, but now we cannot let the baby be strangled in the crib. So what are we doing? We're educating. We're making as many people aware of what this means and what you can do to help. You can learn more and get informed and spread the word. And here's what we're going to be doing next. We're going to be doing a lot of media. We're going to be hopefully adding additional states. Maybe Utah rethinks the veto that Governor Spencer Cox did and calls a special session. We're going to be spreading the word with the Pirate Money book. This sparked a revolution. Look, Thomas Paine's Common Sense sparked the American Revolution. Upton Sinclair's The Jungle sparked a clean up the food industry revolution. Not many books have sparked a revolution like this, but in 2 years, 6 states have passed legislation, 4 signed into law, including 2 of the 3 largest states in the United States of America. Arkansas and Louisiana may move first, but if you add those 5 states together that have passed it and have it signed into law, you have the 3rd largest economy on planet Earth. It is bigger than Germany and the UK and Singapore and Japan, and third only to the United States as a whole and China. Now, we need good people to help us with this. We need people to learn more. If you have questions, email us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. If you want to stay connected, go to transactionalgold.com or piratemoneyradio.com and sign up to receive our regular updates. But this is a matter for prayer. We cannot let this baby be strangled in the crib. Pray for America to return to God's principles. Yes, let's get back to business, but let's do it God's way with real money. This is the role of pirate money. And look, listen, wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's Apple or Spotify, wherever you get them, but Mike and I, we're committed, right?
Absolutely.
Mike Carter and I are committed to seeing this thing through. This is Kevin Freeman, joined by Mike Carter for Pirate Money Radio.
Arrgh!